himself so badly to express his heart, his mercy to people that desperately need it. So anyway, if we can start out with 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll start out with verse 9. And it says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mother, for manslayers, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers. If there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy. And this is the key verse here, that in me, first, Christ, Jesus Christ, might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. We know what the Apostle Paul did. He would round up people to have them murdered, stuck in jail. God gave him mercy. And you ask why. Paul, can we go to Acts 9:1, please? I'm sorry, this is going to take a little while to get going. But I want to establish something here. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him from the synagogues, that if he found any who were out of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And we can stop there. He was breathing out threats and slaughters, just like the Hamas people, just like the people in our streets, just breathing out threats and slaughters. And this is who he became. If we can go to Romans 9:3, Paul, please. This is who he became. This is Paul talking about his Israeli brethren. He says, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. He said, I would go to hell. We've talked about this before. He said he would go to hell if my brethren could be saved. And then one more verse, Paul, if you could put up 2 Corinthians 2:4, please. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. He was in tears. He went from wanting to kill them, basically, to crying for them and wishing he could go to hell if they would only be saved. That's why we think about mercy. Pastor Obed, when we were down in Baltimore several years ago at convention, I think he was pastoring up in, I think it was Canada, perhaps. He used to be a member of the Taliban. He gave his testimony, carrying a big machine gun, and now he's a pastor for Greater Grace. It's like, wow, that's why we give mercy. I just want to go through a couple of verses to establish this. Because these are so, is that really God's heart? Let's see, let's go to Ezekiel, Paul, if we could please. Ezekiel 18:23. Thank you. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? And this is the verses that Pastor Moore brought up at the Q&A wrap, so stealing the message. But it was on his heart. And it was on so many. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his wicked ways and live? And you know, this has been on my heart. Why don't we go to another one? It's the same thing. Ezekiel 33:11, please, Paul. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? We also know, like in Luke 9, when Jesus, they wanted to call the sons of thunder, wanted to call down lightning from heaven. He said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man came not to destroy lives, but to save them. So, I feel like I should bust out. This is too tame. I usually get up here and exhort, and that's what I feel like doing. But I just want you to see that this, and Paul, can we go to Isaiah 52, please, 14 and 15? This is a beautiful couplet of verses. And this is the verse. Oh, could you put this up in the Amplified? Is that possible to do, or is that, please, if you could? It brings it out a lot more. There's a lot of words there. This is the verse that we normally read on Good Friday. Thank you. And this is talking about the Lord Jesus after he was whipped and beaten to a pulp, basically. Just as many were astonished and appalled at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form marred more than the sons of men. You know, we've talked about that before. Everybody looks at these beautiful pictures of Christ on the cross, and sure, he's got some drops dripping down his head from the crown of thorns, and he's got a pained look on his face, but he was beaten more than any man was ever beaten. He was unrecognizable as a human. But what was the purpose? I never saw this verse before. It was that so that he would sprinkle many nations with his blood, providing salvation. Kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they had not been told, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. That is what he wants. That word sprinkle there can mean startle. And it can also mean like a sprinkling of expiation, of paying for people's sins. And that is what people need more than anything else in this world, is forgiveness of sins. And that's what Christ was willing to be beaten to a pulp for. And he wants the world, he wants the nations to know that their sins are forgiven. That is the most important thing. Oh, now I want to bust out. What is our role? Michelle was bringing up an amazing testimony of Pastor Ben Turkia in Israel. If I get this wrong, Michelle, please let me know. But she gave some amazing testimonies there. There was one, I should just let you tell it. Would you be willing? This is pure mercy, but it's also the power of our words. Jeremiah 23:22 says, if you stood in my counsel and preached my words to them, you would have turned them. Jeremiah 23:29 says, my word is like a fire and it's like a hammer. But that hammer can be a velvet hammer. That's what I was called one time when at my old job, when I was working as a salesman. One guy said, you're a velvet hammer. You hammer people, but you do it so softly they don't even realize it. Anyway, I had to bring that up. But Michelle's got some beautiful testimonies of people that were led by God to give them, these Hamas people, his words. I just want you to hear what happened.
This was just a couple of days after the initial attack, and the first day of the attack, when the terrorists were bursting into homes in some of the villages, one terrorist went into an older man's home and burst through the door, and the man just looked at him and said, this must be a very, very hard thing for you to do. And the terrorist just wept and turned around and left. And the second one that he talked about was an older woman, and two men burst into her home. And she looked at them and she said, you must be hungry. And she made them a meal, and they sat down and ate at her table, and they left. They're amazing stories, just of God's mercy. You know, the world was reeling and angry, and I don't know if I could have had mercy like that. I would have had too much fear, I think. But God. And what hit me was that these terrorists have been groomed since they were children, from 5 years old, to hate Jews. And but God's mercy broke them. So that's it.
Thank you, Michelle. I know I put you on the spot. Thank you. That's amazing testimony. And I know Diane was bringing out an amazing testimony, and I won't bring the microphone to you unless you really want it. Thank you, right? But she was talking about these missionaries. I think you said like some lady was raped or something like that. Yeah. And she would go back and actually try to come back and win people that did this to her. I mean, there's stories. I mean, I know Corrie Ten Boom, her sister was raped and killed or something like that, and the man who did that came to her and said, if you'll forgive, he was so broken, he said, if you'll forgive me, I'll become a Christian. And she said, I have to. I'm called to forgive. And she forgave him, and he became a Christian. There's another story of Sabina Wurmbrandt, Richard Wurmbrandt's wife. Her family was executed by Nazis. She, on purpose, made it a point to go and try to win one of the soldiers who murdered her father, her family. And she did. How do you do that? Only God can do that. But we have them inside of us. And I just want to, now is the time to bust out. I just want to encourage you so much that God wants to use you so powerfully. I mean, I have been inspired by that one single incident for so long about the terrorists that burst into that church. And the presence of God came on that body. And the terrorists were taken aback so much that they never came back. They didn't kill anybody, and they never came back. And we talked about, and Rich, you can play the role of the suicide bomber, okay? The guy comes in and sits right here, bomb strapped to his chest. Yeah, there you go. And you know, and this is where you come in about prayer too. That man, that pastor said 8 words. Lord, you care for that man. Touch him. This guy broke, just like Michelle talked about. He just broke, just like that. He said, I have these bombs and I want to blow them up. But I feel the love of Christ. I feel the love of Christ, and I want that, basically. He said, I want that more than I want to blow up people. And I want to just express this to you. God, he wants to use you for you to speak such powerful words and to bring the presence of God. We talked about that, and I can't get that out of my mind, to bring the presence of God to people. There has to be a reality of God in their life. And that's how God wants to express himself through every single person in this body. 2 scriptures here. Paul, can we go to Genesis 41, please? It's verse 53 to 57. This is about Joseph. Remember, we talked about many, many months ago about God has been grooming each and every single one of you in here to be a Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph. He went through a lot of stuff, accused of rape, thrown in a pit. You know, we know the story. But why? And this is why. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended. And the 7 years of famine began to come. And Joseph had said, the famine is in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Do what he says for you to do. Wouldn't you just like to stinking love so much? To have such love and such mercy and such healing and such God pouring out of you, such wisdom, that people would say, I'm in trouble, where do I go? Go to Christina, because she's got love and mercy for you. Go to Ginger, she's got wisdom that you wouldn't believe. Go to Colleen, because she's got such mercy. But really, it's like, where is that coming from? It's coming from Christ. Each and every one of us has Christ in here. And he wants to express that mercy and love for you. Why? Paul, can we put that back up, please? Maybe not. Okay, thank you. Okay, one more verse here. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in all the land of Egypt. Okay, let's go back. Okay, let's just go back one, Paul, please. Okay, let's go to 56, I'm sorry. This is a key phrase here. He opened up all the storehouses. You have a storehouse. You have a storehouse of Christ in you. And that's what we were talking about, being a Joseph. Every single person in here for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years has followed Christ. You know, everybody in here knows the faithfulness of God. Everybody in here knows the veracity of his word. Everybody, but not the generation that's behind us, that you do. And God wants you to be that open, that he wants you to open that storehouse that's inside of you unto people. and pour out the mercy and the love and the testimony of his faithfulness to all the people that are so blind here. And I'll go one more verse, Genesis 45, 5 through 8. But now, this is a little later on in the story, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, a famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you and the earth and to save your lives. Here's the wonderful phrase, a great deliverance. God wants to use every single one of you in a great deliverance for every single person that you meet. They need to be delivered from the blindness. They need to be delivered from the deception. They need to be delivered. See, he wants to work with such power through you. Here's where I start busting out, because this is like what I want to say the whole time. He wants to use you with such an anointing of love, with such an anointing of power, with such an anointing of healing, that you bring that great deliverance wherever you go. I remember listening to one man. He said he just, you know, when God filled him with his spirit, every single person he talked to, he said, accepted Christ as their Savior. He brought healing every single place where he went. There was a thing that Pastor Schaller was talking about. There was a Scottish preacher called McShane. He had such power in his ministry. The one guy wrote me, said, I didn't even hear a word that you said the whole time, but I saw God when I saw you. It changed his life. The presence of God, he wants to move so powerfully through you in these last days to clear out all the stuff that's blinding people. I know I wish I could say it better, but just please. Pastor Schaller talked about a beautiful thing too also in his devotional. But the bottom line was, it's like we hear about these stories, like we hear about Michelle's story, these people over there, and we think to ourselves sometimes, well, I could never be used that way. That's what Pastor Schaller was talking about. He said, the one guy who wrote the book, he said, even though it's just a story about one, it is available to all of us. It is available to all of us. We are, like it says in Romans 8:17, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ has is inside of us. And we have a storehouse, and God wants us to open that storehouse up to people for a great deliverance. I want so everybody in here, like we talked about before, to be like that flamethrower of God's love, of his mercy, of his healing, and just, I want this body to be the epicenter of a tidal wave that just reverberates in this whole state, whole nation to the world. You know, that sign out and back says a local church with a world vision. Can we get a world vision that God can move through us so powerfully in this body that we literally can touch the world? You say, why not? That's what Pastor Handel and Pastor Moore started this church on, a why not faith. And you think to yourself, can I be used that way? Yes. Because all these amazing testimonies that you hear, the pastor who just said, Lord, touch that man. You're praying to the same God. Your prayers are just as powerful. And God wants to have mercy and save. Why? Because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And he doesn't, we know 2 Peter 3:9, he doesn't want any should perish. So let's be those agents of great deliverance. Open the storehouse that God has placed. He's placed the treasure in your earth. Every single one of you in your earthen vessel had the treasure. Open it up. Pour it out. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. We talked about that in Pastor Larry's study today. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to read one thing and we'll close. This is something I thought was kind of given to me, and I want to read it. And this is, please understand this, but I'm going to say this. And it says, the Holy Spirit, and this is taken from something that Oswald Chambers kind of said. He said, the Holy Spirit is not one, and I'm going to add this part, is not one stinking bit interested in all of your reasonings as to why you can't do this. Think about Jeremiah. I'm just a child. I'm just a child. I can't speak. God said to him, don't tell me you're a child. You're going to go to all those places and you're going to speak my words to them and you're going to root up and pull down nations. He was a kid, teenager, he was a child. Gideon, oh, I'm the least of the least in my family. Moses, I can't talk. I've got a stutter. Everybody has their excuses. And the Holy Spirit, when he witnesses to who you are in Christ, and that maybe that's just, you have to know who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. Every single thing that Jesus Christ has in him, you have in you. And it says, we have been ordained. Please take this personally. We have been ordained before the foundation of the world to be here at this time to give witness to God's faithfulness, again, to the truthfulness of his word, and to open heaven's storehouses to people living in a famine. If you look at that verse and, you know, those verses in Genesis, the famine was over the whole world. The famine was over. He kept talking about the whole world, the whole world. And that's why we can bring the gospel to the whole world. I remember Origen, he was some father of faith way back in the 4th century or something. He said, it's easy to preach the gospel to the world because the world needs it so much. And they do. The guy down the street needs it too. So I'm just saying, please, don't limit the Holy One of Israel, what he can do through you. One man can root up and pull down nations. One woman can turn a Haman and have him hung on his own gallows. One man, one woman. Oh, golly, let's go do it. You know? I'm sorry, I wish I could get more excited. I'm usually pumped up here. But really, don't limit the Holy One of Israel, what he can do through one person. God, you got that storehouse in here. Let it loose. Amen. Right. Father, I don't know if that was what you wanted to say. I hope so. Didn't sound exactly like my normal way of being up here, but help us to do that, Father. Help us to open up the storehouses for a great deliverance, Father. Use every one of us to be a great deliverer on your behalf. Help us to lift your Son high, 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 high through our testimony, through the mercy and the love and the healing that we bring, that you can draw all men to yourself, Father. That's why you want to be lifted up, that you can draw all men. Help us to do that. As we open up the storehouses and use us, Father, use us to bring great deliverance to the guy down the street, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.